Okay, fantastic. Thank you so much. Good morning. I'm Mary Sue. I'm a very grateful recovering compulsive overeater sugar addict.
Hi,
It is really
Mary.
one Hi. It is really wonderful, and it's an honor to be asked to speak at this meeting. When I came back into the program 3 years ago, this is where I came, and this is where I found recovery once again. My OA story is has some twists and turns in it. I was the youngest of three children. I had two older brothers that were there was a significant age gap. So in a sense, I always said it was like being an only child with siblings. My parents, my dad was a doctor, my mother was a registered nurse. So I grew up in an upper middle class family, and to the outside we looked really normal, and but on the inside, when you got home and you shut the door, you knew something wasn't normal, and or something wasn't totally right. Let me put it that way. I just had that sense at a very young age, and it wasn't so much that there was drinking in our home. But my mother, many years later, I discovered was bipolar. And so one minute she could be the sweet, loving, kind mother that I knew and turn on a dime and be yelling and screaming at me. So that was a little difficult to take as a child. And I was scared of my mother, actually. I loved her, but I was scared of her. And my temperament's just very opposite of hers. Mine's just a much more gentle flow, shall we say. And it was confusing. I did not have an eating disorder in going back and really working back through my life. My eating disorder didn't start as a child. It actually started when I was in 7th grade. And I just really remember a big shift where there was a lot more tension in my home. And it was also the first time I was around snack machines. So I just felt obligated at recess to go get something out of the vending machine. And then at lunch, I felt obligated to get something out of the vending machine. And before I knew it, I had probably put on 30 or 40 pounds. Well, that was most displeasing to my mother because, bottom line, I was supposed to be perfect. And I was not perfect. I did not look perfect. I knew how to act practically perfect. Believe me, I worked on being the perfect child, and I went out of my way not to upset her. So I held a lot of internal tension inside, and food became my friend. It was my soother. That was the way that I could self-soothe. I didn't know that term, but I knew when I ate, it just kind of took the edge off, so to say. As I went on, it was my mother's mental illness was kind of the elephant in the room. Nobody addressed it, and we just all walked around it. And so it wasn't until my mother was 86 years old that she was properly diagnosed as being bipolar. So, my first thought was, I tell the psychiatrist, I said, "Where were you 40 years ago? My life could have been so much different." But, I wasn't supposed to have that different life. I was supposed to have the life I had. And I had many good things in my life, but I had things that really, to this day, I'm still working on. And part of that is my ability to step up and do something. I think I have a lot of ability, but I haven't always had the self-confidence that I needed. And my mother was very critical of my looks. And I mean, she has said things to me. I just cannot imagine saying to another human being. It's things that stay with you forever, unfortunately. I remember when I was about 14, she told me, she said, "You know what? Nobody's gonna want to date you because you're fat. Guys don't like a girl with a fat ass." So every time a guy acted like he was interested or whatnot, I just didn't believe it. I just couldn't believe anybody would be interested in me. And that was not only in my teenage life, that really carried forward into my adult life. So, I always had a doubt that somebody was really initially interested in me. And I've come to realize that that's not true, that there are men that will accept women that are not, a size four, and they really like, I'm really can be accepted for my personality and my work ethic or other good qualities that I have. It's not everything is not wrapped up in how much I weigh and what size I wear. That was a long time down the road. I knew that if I didn't go off to college, that I would absolutely never escape my mother's grip. And I knew I had to go far enough away that she couldn't just get her hands on me on the weekends. So I went off to college and still kept going through the same thing. I never looked to suit her. I felt like my good was never good enough, no matter what I did. Now, I'm from the Deep South, so I learned, the proper w aspects of being a lady, and I knew how to interact with people. I knew how to greet people. I knew all of the social graces. I had all that down. But what I didn't have down was any confidence in myself. I faked it a lot. When I came in here and I heard the term "fake it till you make it," I thought, "Oh, I aced that one." Good, I already know how to do that part, so maybe that'll make my journey here a little easier. But I was very frustrated. My weight would go up, my weight would go down. I would get on a diet, and I would be all fired up, and then 3 days, and I blow it. And then once you blow it, you blow it. Oh, I'll start again tomorrow. Oh, I'll start next Monday. Whatever. And that was the story of my life. And I realized I only knew two ways to live. That was either on a diet or off the diet. Well, fortunately for me, I graduated from college and I moved to Dallas and I got a job as I was a manicurist. And I loved that job. I got to really interact with people. And I really liked doing nails. I got to take something that their hands weren't really good looking when they sat down in front of me. And in 45 minutes or so, it was art to me. I could have that looking really much, much different, and particularly people that came all the time. So I developed relationships with people, and I realized I have a lot of people skills. As you can see, I'm a talker, and I thrive in that environment. One of my customers was a member of OA, and I'm forever grateful to her for 12-stepping me into this program. And I vividly remember my first meeting. It was in January. It was back in the 80s. I was probably about 24. And I went to this meeting and I had no idea what it was or what was going to be said. But I was actually relieved to find out that I was a compulsive overeater. There was actually a name for what I was or I did or I felt. And it was so frustrating. I thought, I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't cuss, but I cannot control my food. What is wrong with me? Well, that was actually a relief to find out that I had a legitimate malady, I guess, for lack of a better term. So I embraced OA. I probably got abstinent in the first 2 weeks of OA. I got abstinent very quickly. I was very, very ready. And I just asked my higher power to please remove my desire to compulsively overeat. And I got on a food plan, and I followed that food plan, and I did what my sponsor said. If she said do this, I did it. If she said do that, I did that. And it started working. And every pound I lost, I got stronger and stronger. And as I worked through the steps, I will be the first to say I kind of took it was a little tough to want to do that fourth step because truly I was so paranoid to write anything down, God forbid. I had to burn it because I was so afraid somebody would find it and read it. And, this whole thing that just extrapolates in your brain that it's still part of the disease. But I just kept on and kept on. Now, my story takes a little bit different turn because after about a year in OA, I realized that a lot of my food issues were really Al-Anon issues. And so I went into the Al-Anon program. And a lot of my food issues were Al-Anon issues. And what I really had in my family was like, I had a child of an alcoholic. That was my mother. That was also mentally ill. So I had a lot of the same dealings. And, it may have a different name to it, but it has a lot of common properties. It has a lot of common ground. And addiction is addiction. And so that program really helped me grow and grow through life. Well, I went probably for about 20 years and then I kind of got away from the program. And I don't think I consciously thought I could just do it on my own, but I was doing it on my own. So, of course, I was back in food. I don't remember exactly how it happened. My abstinence had been no refined sugar and no white flour. And I did that for 7 years and I did not drink alcohol. And one day I just put sugar in my mouth. I don't remember the occasion or anything, but I'll tell you what, it was like I had never been to an OA meeting. That left. What is a 12-step program that does not pop back in my head? And I was off and running again. And I went out and practiced my disease and practiced every diet I could think of. I was back on that treadmill and it took me down. It really took me down. I came to a point, I was dating someone and I was about 28 years old and I was sexually assaulted. Well, I had so much shame that I didn't tell anybody. I certainly didn't go get medical attention. I just acted like it did not happen because, I could just mentally do that. So I just shoved all that down. And again, I didn't know that's why I was, that just became another reason to eat. So one day, about 3 years ago, I was, driving home from work, I had gotten loaded on sugar. Now, I did not know that you could actually get loaded on sugar, but let me tell you, you can get loaded on sugar. And I had quite a long commute. I was in very heavy traffic and it was like bumper to bumper. And I fell asleep driving. I remember seeing my right hand fall off the steering wheel and my eyes close and I hit a concrete guardrail. And I quickly corrected and then looked around to see if anybody saw that. Well, of course, everybody did because it's four lanes of traffic and everybody's, going 2 miles an hour. But I said to God, if you will help me find OA again, I will be there tomorrow. And I did. I came back and am I out of time? I can't quite see. I came back. I embraced this program
You have five
and
more minutes. I'm sorry.
oh, thank you.
Five more
Thank you.
minutes.
Great. I can't quite see this on my side.
Yeah.
I embraced this program and I knew what I had to do. I knew I had to get off of sugar and white flour and alcohol and just really clean up my act. And believe me, it was not hard to get abstinent after what I had just been through. It put the fear of God in me. It really did scare me. And I really saw that, it's not just people drinking that can be dangerous on the road. It's people being loaded on sugar that your blood sugar is so high you go to sleep or you get sleepy and your reflexes aren't as fast. And I just said thank you for bringing me through that. And I found Skivvy. Actually, this is where I came back to. I found my sponsor here. And I just went back and I told her, I said, okay, I've been in the program a long time. I've worked the steps several times. And I'm not necessarily wanting to do a fourth step from the time I was, 2 years old on up. But believe me, I have enough to still work on. And it was great. We started working the steps. And I was able, I share this because I know I can't be the only person that has a challenge with their mother. It was through working the steps again, and I had probably already done three, four steps on my mother. It's through working that I could really get down and I could really see the illness that my mother had, not just the lashing out at me, and the compassion that I was able to develop and the forgiveness that I could find for her. And I know she did the best job that she could. And more than anything, I'm sure she was haunted because she had to know something was wrong with her, but she didn't know what was wrong with her. So I'm so blessed to have this program. It just warms my heart to come back and be a part of this. And I will tell you, that is something I started doing was I read that abstinence pledge from page 159 every morning when I wake up, and I make that my first priority. I am so honored to be asked to speak today. Thank you so much. I'll stick around a few minutes afterwards if anybody has a question, and
2 minutes.
on to the next part of our meeting. Thank
Okay.
you very much.